For those that couldn't hear, we love being together, being able just to worship. It's some unique moment in the week, isn't it, where we can all come together with one voice and just give glory to God. So we're going to spend some time in worship this morning, singing. Thrilled that we heard from Alistair last week, sharing a bit of his testimony. He's going to be speaking to us this week. Alan's leading us in worship. Phil, we want to thank for getting everything working this morning. So well done, Phil. Let me just read from 1 Chronicles 29. Just before Alan leads us in some worship this morning, it says this: "May you be blessed, Lord God of our father Israel, from eternity to eternity. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty. For everything in heaven, in the heavens and on earth belongs to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of everything. Power and might are in your hands, and it's in your hands to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we give you thanks and praise for your glorious name." Let's do that right now. Let's gather, let's sing wherever you are. Let's raise a voice, whether you're on your own, with your family. Maybe open the window so your neighbors can hear if you sound that good. If you don't, then maybe close the window so the neighbors can't hear. But we're going to lift a voice and just declare the name of our God and give him thanks and praise. Thanks, Alan, lead us this morning.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, the city of our God, the Holy. The joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord, in whom we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down. We want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal, throughout earth and heaven above. Is the Lord and most worthy of praise, the city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord, in whom we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal, throughout earth and heaven above. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal, throughout earth and heaven above. supreme. You're the sovereign Lord I am.
To it all,
Jesus. Wipe away all tears, mend the broken heart, the answer to it all. Jesus, wipe away all tears, you mend the broken heart, the answer to it all. Jesus, 'cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Where there was no other way, you made a way. That's who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That's who you are. Your name is power. Your name is power. All authority is yours. All authority is yours. Peace, bring it all to peace. Storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, and still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave. At your name, break at your name. So I don't know this week if you found yourself in any storms, if the waves have been crashing around, if things don't seem certain, maybe not too peaceful. Let it break in His name. Let the peace come in His name. Jesus, I ask that you send your peace, Lord. Lord, send your joy and peace on us now. Peace, bring it all to peace. Storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name and still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every way. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. praise and breathe. Call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. And your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Be overcome, yes, your name. Your name is a life forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome, yes, your name. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome, yes, your name. Your name is a life forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You deserve the praise.
Just as Alan has been playing and we've been singing this song, I'm kind of drawn to the fact that for some of you, you may not be experiencing those breakthrough moments. You may be experiencing some moments of darkness and struggle and pain, and so what do we do with that? Because we hold this tension, don't we, that he is the one who reigns over all things, and we live in the reality of the present. And so what is the hope that we have? And so I just want to read a few verses from Revelation 21, and hopefully this will just help lift our heads, the fact that this world and all that we experience isn't all that will be. But he's calling us and recreating in us and leading us to something so much more magnificent than we can ever begin to imagine or dream. And so verse 3 says this: Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, Look, I am making everything new. He also said, Write, because these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. And I'm just captivated by the fact that this is faithful and true are his words. Every word of his mouth is trustworthy. And the call to follow Jesus is not that everything will always work out well in this life, but that he's calling us to to participate in the new creation. He is making all things new. And so in this moment, in these times, in these days, in this reality, we can know the outworking of his renewal in us, recreating in us, reshaping and crafting us, so that one day we will fully know that which he had begun here on earth. It's the heaven and earth coming together, heaven and earth colliding. And one day in Jesus, all things will be made new. And that is the hope and the promise that we have. And I want to suggest and say and call you to say that even what you're facing in this moment, it isn't the end and it isn't final. Jesus is making all things new. Father, for those who are struggling this moment, for those that are just battling with this idea of breakthrough, of wrestling with pain and anxiety and worry and all the stuff of life, Lord, we just ask that you would minister your grace into their hearts and lives this morning, that you'd enable them to lift their eyes to that which you're calling us, not just them, but us together as community, into that we live with the reality and the promise that one day all grief, all pain, all suffering, all sorrow will be done away with, and all things will be made new forever. Thanks, Alan.
Is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Yes, your name is a life forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Yes, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a life forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Encouraged by Ian's reading of Revelation 21 there, of just that new heaven and new earth that God promises. And just reading in the chat what Joe has shared, if we were physically together, we invite people to come and share scriptures and pictures and what they sense God is saying. And Joe just shared Habakkuk 1, this moment where the prophet Habakkuk sees stuff and starts questioning God, saying, why are we seeing such violence and you don't save? Why such injustice and you seem to tolerate it, God? What is going on? And we look in our world and we see what's happening as a response to the murdering of George Floyd and the violent escalations of that. And we see the pandemic that's sweeping our world. And it's almost like our voice is similar to that of Habakkuk. God, why? Why are you allowing this? Why are you letting that happen? And I wonder if it's a reminder that actually here Habakkuk cries out to God. He humbles himself enough to say, God, I cry out to you even when I don't understand it. But in this moment in your life, maybe it's looking at the news, maybe it's journeying with people around you who don't understand. Maybe it's humbling ourselves enough to bring that confusion to God. Then, God, we don't understand it. We're going to bring our cry of why to you. Of why? Rather than our cry of why going to gossip or going to somebody else that we think can try and help us, we bring that cry of why to God, and we let him be the one that meets us. Not that we get answers, but we might just get his presence. And actually, his answers might confuse us. Joe went on in verse 5 where it says, look, the nations observe, be utterly astounded. I'm going to do something in your days that you do not believe. When you hear about it, what God does there is he brings up the enemies of Israel to come and invade, to bring something upon Israel where their dependence is more upon God rather than themselves and their own ability. Something completely out of what they were expecting this Savior God to do. And he uses that thing for good, the rising up of the enemy, he uses it for good. So in this moment, I want to encourage you, let's just be still with God. We come together and we want to be with each other, but we can't physically be with each other, but the Spirit of God unites us in a single moment. Whether you're watching this live right now or on demand some point during this week, you're joining with us in a moment of coming before God and just humbling ourselves before him, bringing our cry of why, bringing our need, bringing our desire, bringing our hopes, our fears in this moment right now. Uniting together for God, humbling ourselves, seeking his face, praying for the needs of those that we know around us, praying for the needs of our nation, the nations. Just asking God to step in, asking God to be present, asking God to use us to bring about the new heavens and the new earth on earth right now as it is in heaven. His will be done on earth right now. Your kingdom come right now. We dare to believe those prayers. Pray those prayers to God. Let's just in this moment, as Alan leads us, let's just come in a moment of quiet and just before God, humble ourselves. Let's bless him. Let's just be a people right now that bless him. And in that, we cry out to him. Let's lift our prayers wherever you are right now, whatever you're doing. Let's just pause for a moment. Let's just focus. This is a holy moment where his people come together. We can cry out to him. The God, we lift our prayers to you. Come in this moment. We humble ourselves in this moment. Grace.
safe from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in our homes. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence. That many people gather under the name, under the one name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Was given it all. That's the good news. You've given it all. So we can come to know you as our Father. And that's good news, because we need that. We need that. You've made us to need that connection, to need that intimacy, to need that relationship. And you made it possible. And that's good news, because on my own, there's no way I could ever make it possible. Because Lord, your standard is perfection, and I can't ever achieve that. And so you've stepped in and done it. And dying the death that I deserve, taking my sin and my punishment. As a church, what we're going to do now is, in our homes right now, we're going to take communion together. So if you haven't, maybe grab some juice or something you can drink, and some food, maybe a cracker or some bread or something you can take for communion. And we've got a video that's going to lead us through a time of communion. So know again that we're doing this independently. We're doing this separately, maybe in your households, with your kids, maybe on your own individually. But know that there's other people in this moment right now that are taking communion. We're doing it together. And so this video is going to lead us through and guide us through communion. And beautiful song, I Praise the Name, that Scott and Laura have done a version of, part of our church, part of the worship team have done a version to lead us into that song afterwards. So we're going to sing that as well. So thanks to Scott and Laura for doing that. But please, let's come, let's take communion together in this moment.
my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree.
of us, the offering that you gave. Just what your sacrifice has done for us. Lord, we thank you for the gifts you put within our body that we can serve one another and love one another. And we thank you. Thank you for each one that is listening and watching and engaging right now and worshiping together. And thank you for the gift of the musicians we've got in our church that just bless us. You know, we just want to say a massive thank you to everyone who's involved week in, week out in this thing called Church Online that we're trying to navigate and figure out the best way of doing it, and people that are inputting into that. And we're just so blessed. We're a blessed church to have such amazing people, those that are doing the pastoral care in our church. I just want to thank you that you're out there, you're calling people, you're walking socially distanced with people, doing shopping for people and seeing the church loving each other. I'm more and more convinced that the world seeing the church loving each other, it's John 13, that it's by our love for one another, the world will see just who it is that we're following. And so thank you for that. Just to let you know, before Alistair, who's going to share with us in a couple of minutes, I just wanted to share some things that to make you aware of. Last week, we prayed into racial injustice in the church, and we asked Rebecca to lead us in prayer. I want to encourage you, we've got some prayer guides through our website. If you go on our website, there's a link that's giving you all the updates of where we're at with different things, and that feed is on there, that list of prayer is on there. But there was also a conversation this week that some of our Elim leaders had with other people in other church movements. That's a great video. I want to encourage you, I've just put that on the chat, encourage you to watch that this week. Let's keep engaged with this. Let's keep praying into this as a district, an area that is 97% white and claims to be 70% Christian. I think those of us that are white Christians in our county can model something and display something to everybody else about what this looks like and what God's heart is. So let's pray into this and keep this as part of our conversations. Let's not let that die, and let's keep praying and seeking God's heart in the midst of everything that's going on. Also, if you're able to give into the life of our church, please, we want to thank you for your generosity and your time, your resources, your finance. If you are able to give, then there's a link coming up. You can click that and you can give online. I want to thank you to those that are continuing to give during this time. We're able to increasingly support more and more people. So I want to thank you for that, just your generosity as a church. Normally this month is our month of generosity, where we give as much as we're able to financially and of our time. Every penny that the church gets in, we give away. Well, we're going to delay that this year for obvious reasons of not being together and just seeking God's heart for how we can use that finances in the future. And so we'll let you know when that month of generosity is going to happen. We've not scrapped it. It's part of who we are, where we give away every penny. But bear with us as we seek the right time to do that. And also next week, just to let you know, next week is our Father's Day family service. So invite people along to that. Get people online. We're going to have a real celebration, some fun. If you are male and would like to take part in our Father's Day challenge, we have a challenge every year. Usually a few guys come at the front and we have a competition. Well, this year we are asking you, if you're willing, video yourself downing a pint of milk as quickly as you can. And the winner, there are prizes. Let me tell you, there will be a prize that will be sent out to the winner. Whoever can down the pint of milk the fastest, we will show that video next week. And we've already had some videos come in. The competition is tough. And there's also some very funny submissions as well. So whichever route you want to go with it, get yourself filmed this week. Get that over to me, either through your Connect group or WhatsApp, or email it to us, and we can get that video ready for next week and we'll be able to announce the winner. But without any more delay, I want to introduce, we saw last week Alistair shared his testimony with us. And I just want to hand over to Alistair now, who's going to just share God's word with us and bring something of his journey with us through the scriptures. So Alistair, great to have you with us. Maybe you want to introduce yourselves.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Really nice. This is my wife Delphine, and really nice for us to be able to share this Sunday morning together. She's gonna disappear now, and so that's the nice bit over, and we're gonna have a look at God's word together from the book of Acts and chapter 3. And I'm reading from the Passion version. This is, I guess, one I've been using for the last year or so, and absolutely, absolutely love. If you haven't had a chance to try that, it's I would really recommend it. So this is Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, and the Passion version. One afternoon, Peter and John went to the temple for the 3 o'clock prayer. As they came to the entrance called the Beautiful Gate, they were captured by the sight of a man crippled from birth, being carried and placed at the entrance to the temple. He was often brought there to beg for money from those going into worship. When he noticed Peter and John going into the temple, he begged them for money. Peter and John, looking straight into the eyes of the crippled man, said, "Look at us." Expecting a gift, he readily gave them his attention. Then Peter says, "I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man. As he pulled the man to his feet, suddenly power surged into his crippled feet and ankles. The man jumped up, stood there for a moment stunned, and then began to walk around. As he went into the temple courts with Peter and John, he leapt for joy and shouted praises to God. When all the people saw him jumping up and down and heard him glorifying God, they realized it was the crippled beggar they'd passed by in front of the Beautiful Gate. Astonishment swept over the crowd, for they were amazed over what had happened to him. The Jewish people had it all. They had the temple that had taken 46 years to build. They had its rituals, its services, they had its wealth, its gold. They were in the city that God had called to be his own, the city of Jerusalem. They also were living in the nation that God had uniquely and specially called to be his own, Israel. They had the lot. They had the priests in their robes. They had the ceremonies, everything. And people used to travel hundreds and hundreds of miles to actually come from all over the nation to gather together at festivals and different times of the year to celebrate and to sacrifice. They had everything. But this 40-year-old beggar was, in many ways, was in exactly the right place, right by the temple. He was in the place really where his needs should have been met and where he could and should have really been able to encounter God. But none of this touched him. The glory, the temple, the architecture, the priests, the robes, the affluence, the services, the sacrifice of animals, thousands and thousands every year, none of this touched him and changed his life. And Peter and John come to the temple, and they encounter this man, and they have that beautiful phrase that being an over 50, I learned at Sunday school in the good old AV, King James Version, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." Those were the days. No, they weren't, but anyway, there you go. Amazing statement. And we've got to understand that comment by Peter and John. We've got to understand it in context. It's really important that we understand, this is Acts 3. It's important that we remember that these men have gone through Acts 2. They've been filled with the Spirit. They've set aside that time of waiting on God, waiting for that empowerment to come to their lives. But not only has Acts 2 happened in that way, those early verses, there's also the later verses, around verse 42 in that chapter, that talks about the fact that they were devoted to the apostles' doctrine, to prayer, and to fellowship. And we've got to remember that when these guys are operating in the power of God, operating in this way through the Spirit's power, these are men that have encountered the Holy Spirit, and these are men that have devoted their lives to prayer, to the Word of God, to fellowship, to breaking of bread. And that devotion is incredibly important. And I have two key questions for us today. And the first is this: what are you devoted to? You see, it's really easy in our culture, in our society, to be devoted to the things that everybody around us is devoted to. They're not bad things, but they're not the best. It's really easy to be devoted to our jobs and our careers. It's very easy to get caught up in the materialism of our culture and be devoted to acquiring it's very easy to be caught up with promotion and climbing the ladder and getting to the top of everything. It's easy to spend our lives devoted to those things. And if you want to work out what you're devoted to, there's two key real sort of little measures. One is how you spend your time, and the other is how you spend your money. That'll give you a good indication of where your devotion lies. And these men, not only them, not only the apostles, but that wider community that comes to faith in Acts 2, they are devoted to the apostles' doctrine, to prayer, to fellowship, to breaking of bread. And that is my first question for you to think about today. What are you devoted to? And maybe in this time of change and of lockdown, a time of reflection, it's time to look at what we're devoted to. It's time to look at what our priorities are. What is it that really counts? You know, have we really, really missed the fact that Primark's not been open for 3 months? Has that made an absolute difference to Ian Hesketh's fashion? No, it hasn't. It's not really that crucial. What are you devoted to is my first question. Then the second question comes out of that little AV quotation. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. So if the first question is what are you devoted to, the second question is what do you have? What do you have to give? What is it that we as church have to offer to our community? It's not a load of doctrines. It's not a tick box of things that, you know, tick this if you believe about Jesus and you're in the club. I believe absolutely, as John mentioned earlier, that it is the love of God that flows to us and through us. Absolutely, we have that. But also, what we also have and what God wants us to have is the power of his Spirit flowing into our lives and through our lives and touching those in our community around us. It may be physical illness through a beggar. It may be that lonely person. It may be that person that needs forgiveness. It may be that person who is struggling with anxiety and mental health challenges. What do you have? And Peter and John, they look at that man, the man who's in the right place, the man who's by the temple, the man who should be in the place where he's touched, but it doesn't work. It doesn't happen like that. And in the UK at the moment, we have this situation, the situation where churches, you know, can't meet in normal ways, where a lot of our obvious things and our obvious programs have been lost to us. But what do we have? What do we have? All of those things, there's nothing wrong with them. But are they the things that are really touching people's lives? Actually, it's the power of God flowing into you and into me that can really touch people's lives. Such as I have. When I think about lockdown, I think for me, the most obvious kind of scriptural parallel in the life of Jesus is when he goes into the wilderness. And I think sometimes we think of the place of the wilderness as, you know, hot, dry, arid, as a place of lack, which it was. It was a place where Jesus, led by the Spirit, goes for 40 days. And yes, he goes to fast. He goes to be tempted by the devil. It's a place of warfare and of battle. But it's also the place where Jesus is empowered. It's the place where he encounters the Father. It is the place where he is strengthened, ready for his ministry. That's why Luke chapter 4 and verse 14 says this. Again, the Passion Version. It says, then Jesus armed with the Holy Spirit's power. I like that. Jesus armed with the Spirit's power. Yes, he's physically weak. Yes, he lacks food. Yes, he lacks fellowship. He lacks companionship. Yes, he lacks all those things. But he comes out armed with the Spirit's power. And I want to suggest to you that in this time of change, lockdown, limitation, things we can't do, encounter the Holy Spirit. Set aside time to get away. Don't waste this time. Don't Don't just sort of think, oh, how do I survive lockdown? How do I just get through this period? Actually use it to come into the presence of God. Use it so that you come out of this period armed with the Holy Spirit's power. I think there's a real opportunity, an opportunity to evaluate what we're devoted to and to consider, what do we have? Such as I have, give I unto thee. Silver and gold I don't have. Jesus comes out of that place, that wilderness place, empowered, armed with the Holy Spirit's power. And I believe that there is an invitation from God, the Holy Spirit. In fact, more than an invitation, a summons from God, the Holy Spirit, to come into his presence so that as we encounter the people in our community, in our workplace, in our street, that actually we're able to say, such as I have, give I unto thee. Yes, we've been stripped away from lots of things, but God wants to empower us and arm us and fill us with his Spirit. So two little thoughts as we pray for a moment. Firstly, what are you devoted to? And secondly, what do you have? Such as I have, give I unto thee. And Lord, I pray for each of us. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful body, Lord, that you are building and shaping to impact Stratford and the wider community, surrounding areas. Thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that as your body, that we will be devoted to the right stuff. Devoted to your word, devoted to fellowship, devoted to prayer, devoted to the breaking of bread. And I pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit, that we will come and encounter you, that we will come and meet you, that we will come and be changed and shaped and filled. So that, Lord, that everything that you desire to do with people around us can be done, and that we will have something because we've received something and be able to give. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Two great thoughts there, Alistair. Just for a few moments, I asked Alistair if he'd mind us doing a bit of a Q&A, just a couple of minutes, just to unpack and make really practical what Alistair shared. Alistair won't realise this, but actually the two points that he's just shared is completely in line with how I've been trying to lead the church during this season. That in Connect groups, we've been going through spiritual disciplines and looking at our devotional life. And what we're going to move into after Father's Day is going to be around what have we got as a church to give? What does that look like? And so those two points completely reflect and mirror where we're at. But I'm actually going to put Ian on the spot a bit. We're going to say that we're going to have some questions to give Alistair, but I just want to ask both of you at the moment, because you're both in like different stages of life, kids, in, you know, grown-up kids and young kids. So what, you know, Alistair's first point there of what are you devoted to? I just wanted to ask you both, just very briefly, because we haven't got long left, but just a couple of minutes. What does that life look like for you in the stage of life you're at now? And how is it different to how it maybe has been in the past? But for the stage of life you're at now, what does that devoted life look like for you, Alistair?
I am 14 years ago, going through a major life change. I worked on a mission statement for my life, and that was to draw near to God, draw near to family, and draw near to Christian leaders. And that meant the priority of getting out, setting aside time to pray, to read the word of God, not for sermons, but for my own life, and to make that really important. The second one was about drawing near to family. Delphine and I, between us, have six children. I have four children by my first marriage. And it was incredibly important to me that my children got my time and what I hope was a godly influence. And their lives. So all four of my kids and love God. They're in church and serving God in different ways. And that was really important for me. And Delphine's girls too are are Christians and involved and loving God. And that's really important to us. and then draw near to Christian leaders. So those, I've sought to live my life the last 14 years according to those values and priorities. I think that came out of a difficult season, but was really important, so that those three priorities helped me say yes and no, and they helped me make choices and stay on track for what I believe God's called me to do.
No, really good. Intentional. Love that. Yeah. Ian, same question. What about for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just pick up on that intentional nature, really. I think probably about 12 years ago now for me, there was a really intentional nature about how did I want my life to be when I was in my 40s? How did I want my life to be when I was in my, when I'm in my 50s? And knowing that actually stuff will grow, but not always the stuff that I want to grow. So what did I need to do in terms of my life? And so similar to Alistair, my frame of work really is around being reformed by Jesus and then reforming for Jesus. So because it's part and parcel of who I am, I love to see things change, but I realize that actually if I want to see the change, not only in my family or work or life, then it's got to be in me first and foremost. So that's kind of my go-to, John, really, is that I'm devoted to being a disciple of Jesus, walking with Jesus in all of life, not just a part of life. And therefore, the way I spend time with my kids, which, I think over lockdown, family lockdown has revealed some stuff that we're kind of going, okay, what don't we want to go back to? What will life be like going forward, given demands of job? So I think it's those kind of things for me, John, is it's just being really intentional. You don't get the life you want by just drifting along, or you don't get the life that God's designed for you just by drifting along. You've got to go, this is what I'm setting my heart to do, and I'm going to live that way. And when you hit a bump, you confess, you repent, you get back on track, and knowing that life happens. And so I think that for me is just the call. We've just got to live intentional lives.
Yeah, it's good. It's that stuff we've explored a lot in church, of the wise and the foolish builder, and the concept of fool being the one who just doesn't consider his ways, isn't reflective and isn't intentional. That's really good. And just to pick up on your second point, Alistair, what do we have to give? And you spoke into the power of the Spirit. I just wonder for those out there that are like, the what? The power of the what? What is this thing, the power of the Spirit? I guess my question is for you, how do you know you're filled with the Spirit, and how do you live that out?
Yeah, okay. I think there's two halves to that. I think if you've come up in a Pentecostal kind of church, there's the obvious, that there is the actually seeing God do things through you, the fruit, that actually when there are things that happen in your encounters with people that you didn't make happen, that might be the obvious things, the dramatic, the healing, that could be that. But it's also, it's words of comfort and encouragement, and it's being in the right place at the right time. And you can see God kind of orchestrate your life. But also it's the other half. It's also the fruit of the Spirit. It's the indwelling presence of God's Spirit actually producing greater love and kindness and peace and joy and humility in your heart and life. And it's both elements of that. So that actually your life, when people, you encounter other people, your life does people good, and actually people can see actually that a difference in you, not just because of the things you mentally believe, but because you are, use Ian's words, a reformed person. You're different. You should be full of love and joy and peace. And that's, for me, that's the measures. It's the fruit of your life in terms of, yes, supernatural things in terms of power, but also character differences producing us, as people who are more like Jesus.
Yeah. Brilliant. Ian, anything you'd jump in?
It's great. I think for me, it's how much am I desiring to be with Jesus, not just to be like Jesus. I think that the Spirit draws us into into his presence. So I spent a whole load of time going through the Gospel of John, and you see the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work, being drawing believers into community and communion with Father, Son, and Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who enables us to gain access through Jesus into that life. And so I think for me, am I exhibiting joy and peace and life and calmness even in the midst of global pandemic? Am I living a life that is centered in Jesus? But also then, am I more, what do I talk about and who do I talk about him to? And so am I looking for opportunities to talk about Jesus, because the Spirit was given in order that we might bear witness to Jesus? So I think one of the key indicators for me in terms of a life of fullness in the Spirit is, am I on mission with him? Am I seeking those opportunities? But I think, picking up from where Alistair left off, it's not just about the power stuff. It is about the fruit. But I think the power stuff flows from the relationship with him, life in him. Because without that, it's very, very dangerous.
Mm. That's really good. I think just to add for me is the way allowing the Spirit to work in your life and actually realizing that sometimes the things that you struggle with might just be the area that God is wanting to work on. So if, like having moments in lockdown of complete lack of patience with the kids, you get real. And actually maybe God is working in that rather than me getting frustrated and, God, why am I not experiencing this? That actually maybe God is saying, well, maybe I've got something for you if you seek me and eagerly desire. And I love that from Paul, eagerly desire. And he talks about prophecy and the gifts. But, eagerly desire the things of the Spirit, that fruit of actually, God, I desire this in my life. I desire more joy in my life. God, in all the circumstances, reveal how you're going to display that in and through me. And I seek that and I pursue that. Gone in.
Yeah, no, it's going to check. I think one of the things that's really important in terms of talking about the Spirit is that we don't talk about him as an it and some force and power that's removed from God, as if he is God, and he bears the character of God, because he is, and so he's good, and he revealed his role is to reveal Jesus to us. So he's not to be feared, and it's not as, because without the Holy Spirit living in us, we can't be children of God. And so if you're born of God, then the Spirit already resides in you. But he longs to empower us for the greater effectiveness and witness. So I think that passage is immense, right at the birth of the church. But he's our friend, he's our comforter, he's our guide, and without him we can't really do this life of discipleship.
Absolutely. And I think as Pentecostals, we've been really good at talking about the baptism in the Spirit, but Scripture talks about being baptized, continually being baptized in the Spirit. So whether you are 80 years old or 18 or 8, whether you've ever encountered the Holy Spirit and said you've been baptized in the Spirit, whatever that means, then I want to encourage you, maybe every morning we wake up and say, will you just baptize me again today in your Spirit, continually being baptized in this moment right now, in frustration or temptation or whatever it looks, baptize me in your Spirit. And maybe that's something of what the life of the Spirit looks like. Guys, we're going to draw things to a close. I want to thank everyone for joining us this morning. Alistair, I just wonder, would you pray over our church community as we draw things to a close? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being, Lord, your church. Thank you that you are calling your church to new days, new ways, and new effectiveness. And Lord, I bless you for, Lord, the little bits that I know of this lovely body and its plans and its dreams and its call from you. And I pray, Lord, that you will supercharge it. I pray, Lord, that you will guide, Lord, each leader, each member, each part of the body, Lord, to live out your kingdom and to see your kingdom come in them and through them. I pray that you will, Lord, cause this church to be completely unknown, so that, Lord, it won't stand, Lord, looking for its own glory or its own name, but, Lord, that it will lift up the name of Jesus. I pray that you will be exalted and magnified. I pray that this body will be a body full of salt and light
and hope and joy and peace. And Lord, that people that encounter, Lord, members of the of this body will encounter you and will see a God of love and a God of forgiveness and a God who wants to draw near. I pray that you will dwell in them individually and corporately, and that, Lord, that they will be instruments, Lord, in your hands, instruments of blessing, instruments, Lord, that bring the good news, Lord, to their many communities, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alistair. Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Alan, for hosting this morning. And thanks, everyone else, for coming online and being together in this moment. Don't forget, next week, we're going to have our Father's Day family celebration. So join us there. Invite your friends to join us online. And we'll see which guy is able to drink the pint of milk the quickest. But until then, we pray over you. Please keep supporting each other. If you're in Connect groups, prioritize those moments of being together. Just important moments where we gather together and we seek God together. So have a blessed week, and we'll see you this time next week.